During this time of Rosh Hashanah, leading to the next fall festival, which is Yom Kippur, 10 days that traditionally lovers of God cry before God in repentance. And the issues of their past is expunged. Hallelujah. It's a time that the people of God seek God for His good hand of blessings. Now, that is the way it used to be. And not that anything has really changed, other than the fact that God has already forgiven when we come before Him in repentance, and that He has blessed us with the greatest blessing of all. But the reality is, in the kingdom of God, any benefit that is not applied is a benefit that is lost to the one who did not apply it. You can have somebody make a deposit into your account. Let's say they made a deposit of $20 million. But what you know that you have in that account that you believe belongs to you is $1,000. You're going to spend up to $1,000 and not spend any more because you do not believe that that $20 million belongs to you. Unfortunately, that is the life of a lot of believers. God has given so much, made so much available, but they are limited based on the traditions of their mind or their religiosity or belief system to a limited release of favor, of grace, of blessing. And so they live beneath what God has for them. It reminds me of a story I read many years ago of a man who wanted to travel from an African nation to London. And at that time, the only way to do so was by ship. He gathered all of his money, bought the ticket, got into the boat, and for the weeks that the boat traveled, did not eat anything, did not drink anything. He saw people eating and drinking. He never left his room. He just knew he could smell all that good food and people using their cutlery and laughing and drinking and everything, and he's hunkered down in his room. And when they arrived in London, the captain was there and greeting everybody. He saw him, said, where did you come from? Said, come in there. Have you been in this ship all this while? Yes, sir. But I never saw you out for breakfast or lunch or dinner or snacking on anything. He said, well, I only had enough money to buy the ticket. And I couldn't afford to buy any food. And the captain broke the news to him. When you bought your ticket, you had the food available to you. His ignorance kept him hungry. My prayer today is that no one in here today will leave this place hungry because of ignorance. Amen? Praise the Lord. The full impact and benefit that God has for us as his sons and daughters, we must receive and we must enjoy to the glory of God. Amen? Well, let me get to the word that the Lord has for us tonight. Traditionally, the first segments of this particular passage that I'm going to share with you will be communicated in a particular way. But the Lord said to me, he said, no, yes, that is true, but what I want you to share with my people is also true. I said, it can't be both. He said, did you read the whole passage? I said, yes. Okay, what did I say at the end? And then I got his message. I got the message loud and clear. So I'm going to share a flip side of this passage with you today. Amen? It is the positive part of it. And it is what God is saying to us as his people. Hallelujah. It's found in the gospel, or let me call it the book of Joel. The book of Joel, chapter 2. The passage starts out as we did last night. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. That is basically some of the things God was sharing with us yesterday. The bridegroom is ready. Hallelujah. The bridegroom is ready. The time of the Lord's return is at hand, and the bride is being made ready by the Holy Spirit. The Lord spoke to us very clearly last night and said, these are the days of the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen? And I want to encourage you, so I don't repeat myself again today, of the things that God began to share with us yesterday. I want to encourage you to go online or get the DVD or the CD and just hunker down and listen to the word of the Lord. Because that word is a word for the now. Hallelujah. The glory of God is about to be revealed. One of our spiritual daughters and spiritual son sent me a video clip today of something unusual. They'd listened to the message last night and had been greatly blessed. They are in another country. And they got up today. Their house is closed, beautiful home. Beautiful, beautiful home. And lo and behold, they've not cooked, they've not done anything. In the house, windows closed, it's cloud. The cloud is moving in the house. I could show you the video. Is this what they call the glory? God is already moving. Are you hearing me? Inside their house, I saw the video. There is a cloud moving. Like smoke. Moving. I say, wow. Look at this. God has made a major shift. And you and I are about to experience God in another realm. In another realm, at another dimension, another level. Hallelujah. Because God wants to do a new thing. You know what? You remember a man called Zacharias? He is in the temple worshiping and doing his service when the angel of the Lord showed up and began to tell him about what was going to happen. And his doubt kicked in, and God shut his mouth so that he cannot stop what God wanted to do. Hallelujah. That's where we are, saints. God has come to the place, he says, my son is coming. And I am going to move in here, and I'm going to begin to shake things, and things are going to begin to move, and nothing is going to stop what I'm going to do. God is on the move. And I'm going to be on the move with him. What about you? Hallelujah. God is going to do a new thing. And he said, just like he said yesterday, if the church will not do, those that he's invited already, if they don't come to flow, he's going out on the streets, and those that are prostitutes, drug addicts, those that are beat out and beat down, that nobody is counting, God's Holy Spirit is going to fall on them, and they are going to be the move of God that God is going to use in this new dimension of the Holy Ghost. I am not going to be left behind. Hallelujah. I said I'm not going to be left behind. I want them to be part of it, but they are not going to take my place. Hallelujah. Everything that has breath will praise the Lord, but I am going to bless the Lord also. Glory be to God. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. And that is a true statement. Judgment. Hallelujah. For some people, judgment will be good. For some people, it's not going to be good. The word of God continues and says, a day of darkness is going to be a day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. But God is also saying to us that he's a God who calls us out of darkness, because there's going to be a separation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While the world is going like Egypt through its crisis, God's people in their Goshen will be experiencing the peace of God that passes all understanding. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, a great people and a strong. Now, in this segment here, there are two pathways. This great people and strong can be the enemy. But God says, I don't want you to talk about the enemy. I want you to talk about my people. For the people who know their God. Hallelujah. They do great exploits. They are strong. They are mighty. It says, when I gave this word, I was given the word concerning one state of time and the same word to describe another state of time. Glory be to God. I had always seen it only on one side. And most Bible students see it only on one side. This is the enemy that is strong and is doing this and doing that. But God says, no. I flip this, and I tell you, there is a second part, for my word is a double-edged sword. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I want you to see and understand that we as God's people are a great people and a strong people. He says, there had not been ever the like. And that's what God has been saying to us, that whatever it is that happened on the day of Pentecost, that happened, but he has sweeter wine, greater wine for this new age, for this new season, for this new time. Amen. And you are going to see it all in this passage of Scripture as we keep on going. Neither shall any more after it. In other words, I am wrapping up things. Glory be to God. This last stage is a wrap up. And there's not going to be any more like that, because we are going to be at another dimension. Somebody shout hallelujah. Even to the years of many generations, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. Then it says, the land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. I said, Lord, what are you saying? If this is about two things, what are you saying here? One says here, there was a garden of Eden before them, and as they came, they consumed it, and the garden of Eden became like a desolate place. He said, yes, but I'm also saying to you that you were in a wilderness, and now you are seeing a garden. Oh, Jesus is Lord. I could have jumped out of my skin, because God was saying two things at the same time. For one, he's saying, for the destruction part, the destroyer came and messed up the beautiful place and made it desolate. But you also are consuming fire, because you come out of me, and ahead of you, fire is going. Behind you, fire is coming. You are surrounded by fire, meaning that you cannot be penetrated by the enemy. I am your shield and your buckler. Somebody shout hallelujah. God wants to move us from thinking about the wilderness to experiencing the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. I believe last year, that's right, last year he told us about the Garden of Eden. At this time, isn't God an awesome God? Hallelujah. It says, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Nothing shall escape them. In other words, God is saying, listen, in the past, the enemy was able to capture and destroy everything, and nothing escaped. But this time, no blessing shall escape from you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I'm going on the two sides of this road. Show, you know, on every road there's two sets of dishes. God is talking about the other ditch and saying, this is what I am saying for you now. Hallelujah. I'm taking you past that to now. Yes, this was my army that I sent that created disaster, but now I have restoration on my mind. Somebody shout hallelujah. Are you with me? It says the appearance, oh wow, look at this. The appearance of them as the appearance of horses. Now that's interesting, because remember when we talked about where Jesus was yesterday morning, we said he was in a place called Caesarea Philippi. Remember? Philippi, the word Philippi means a lover of horses. A lover of horses. Caesarea, separation from the, Caesarea means to be separated. Love of horses. But God is now saying, no more separation, now join in. Because these horses are going to run. Hallelujah. It says the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. That's where Jesus declared, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over it. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The next verse says, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble as a strong people set in battle array. Verse 6 says this, before their face the people shall be much pained. In other words, they will be scared. Because God is going to move upon us. On one hand, on the left side, the way it used to be, the enemy came and the people of God were scared. But now, it's a totally different picture. Because we are not the ones going to be afraid this time. Whenever the enemy sees you, he will be fleeing. Remember what the Lord said. He said, the manifestation of my glory, when the devil saw me, they said, have you come to destroy us? We are not the ones going to be afraid, spending 2 hours trying to cast out a demon. No, you just come out, get out. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. All faces shall gather blackness because they are afraid. Now watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. That's the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Not breaking rank, staying together, sticking together, marching and possessing their Jericho. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. The verse continues. It says, neither shall one trust another. In other words, hurt each other. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. I am not killable. Woo! Glory to God. It says, if you stumble and they fall on their sword, they won't get hurt. Why? Eternal life. It abides in them. They are healed from the inside out and the outside in. Somebody shout hallelujah. In the place where love reigns, the devil has no authority. Give God the Lord up all praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then it says, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. On the negative side of the enemy, that's what the enemy did. But now God is saying, just like the Bible says, when he returns, he shall return like a thief. In other words, he will return suddenly. God is saying to every one of us, I am bringing you to the place of the suddenly, where you tap into everything that I have for you, and the enemy will be unaware. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the possessor of our possessions. Glory be to God. Let's go on. It says, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. When all this gloom is happening in the world, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed his word. God will execute his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Who can handle it? Now let's continue the shift of what the Lord is saying to us prophetically. Therefore also now, said the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. This is the key. We need to turn to God with all of our hearts. And with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Repentance. If we are going to shift from the enemy overwhelming us to us overwhelming the enemy, we have to repent. That's key. Without repentance, we cannot see God. Hallelujah. The word of God continues, and rend your heart and not your garments. Let it be an inner thing, not an outward show. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. He repents of the evil. Just like God wants you and I to repent, God says, I too am going to repent. I'm going to change my mind about how I've been handling you. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 14. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and do what? Leave a blessing behind him. Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Now that, child of God, is one of those confusing verses. Because it starts out talking about God repenting and leaving a blessing behind him. And then it says, even a meat offering and drink offering, still talking about God. Are you seeing? Still talking about God. What is that? That is God saying, listen, for me to bless you, I need the meat offering and drink offering. But I, who needs it, I'm going to give it to you. I am going to give you what you I want you to give to me. In other words, whatever God wants you to do, he gives to you. Are you hearing it? He's the one who wants to receive it. But he says, I'm going to give you what to give to me. Hallelujah. Say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. God, whatever you need, I receive now. So I can in turn bring it back to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For we can do nothing without him. Amen? So when God blesses me financially, I must consider this, that he has blessed me to release it to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord asked me for a very special offering, and I had committed to give it in one way, but he said, saying to me, no, not that way. I want it this way. This one is going to come from here. But if I do it here, then I have nothing. You've cleaned me out again. I gave it to you. It is mine. That's how when we moved into our first house, the first house we bought, God asked me, says, I want my money. I said, what money? When did it become? This is the money I've been saving for years. Now God says, it's my money. I thank God that I gave it. Mama and I gave that money. And the next year, when we wanted the house, we got the biggest deal. God surprised us because God intervened in our situation and made what we could not get possible. Hallelujah. When God gives it to you and you honor him by giving it back to him, get ready for the surprise. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so I will do what I said I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, when he returns, he leaves a blessing behind him. May your eyes and my eyes be open to see the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Let's go on, because I got to finish this. Then it says again, blow the trumpet in Zion. This is like God saying, verily, verily, blow the trumpet in Zion. And this feast is signified by the blowing of the trumpet. 100 blasts, that's 2 jubilees. 2 times 50. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Should I? Yeah. So, this is the deal. Amazing. The Lord didn't ask me for much this Rosh Hashanah. He just asked me for 50. So yesterday I wrote down $50 for yesterday, and I wrote another for 50 for today. Are you with me so far? So I gave the 50 yesterday, and God wiped out the memory of the fact that I already made the 50 for today. So I started writing another 50 for today, and I grabbed a pen, and the pen was purple. And it is smudged. I finished writing this 50, and then he opened my eyes to see the first 50. Are you with me? Okay, I'm not talking about your offering. I'm talking about this for a reason. Because at Jubilee, you blast that trumpet, declaring freedom, deliverance, restoration, change. So I said, okay, well, I gave 50, I wrote 50 already. I'm just going to give the one I prepared before. That says, you will do what? I'm in mama's office. You will do what? I said, I'm just going to give the 50. You will do what? I said, I will give both of them. He said, now you got that right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because they double. Listen, I am fessing up to you as I go on to understand that giving is not an easy thing, whether it's 50 or 1,000 or 20,000. And God knows that we've given in all kinds of ways through the years. But the reality is this, that whatever it is that you are doing, God is marking it out, and he's saying something to you concerning your life now and your life as it continues. And we're about to shift into talking about that now. So he talks here about blowing the trumpet again in Zion. Sanctify a fast, he says. Call a solemn assembly. And guess what? When God talks about a fast in Isaiah, it's about giving, wasn't it? Meeting the needs of people. And God is calling us to do the same thing now. Hallelujah. To bring about a shift. Verse 16. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber. Is that not what he said yesterday? That the bridegroom is getting ready to come out? And he's saying, and the bride out of her what? Closet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Closet. Everybody else is coming out of the closet. It's time for believers to come out of the closet. Hallelujah. Amen. I said it's time for us to come out of the closet. Glory be to God. The bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Something is changing, saints. And when we go on, verse 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you what? Corn. And what? Wine. We talked about the wine yesterday. And oil. We talked about the oil yesterday because he was pouring it already. I saw it in the morning right over there, and just God was pouring the oil. And in the evening, he talked to us about how he turned water into wine. He says, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. The heathen are no longer going to look at you and say, they are not going to be able to open their mouth, because now they are going to be shocked at what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face towards the east sea and his hinder part towards the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up, because he had done great things. That's that army. That's enemy. God says, I'm going to remove that northern army. Now, that army, the northern army, is the army that shuts you away from experiencing what God wants to pour into your life. Because God sits on the sides of the north. If you go to most cities, what you find is this, that somehow the north used to be flourishing and now it is run down. Are you with me? It's an interesting observation. But you don't move away from the north because the north is run down. Because God can touch and bless you in the north. Amen? Praise the Lord. He says he will turn, he will drive him into a land barren and desolate. Wait a minute. Now, this is rather interesting, because this army is what is creating desolation, turning gardens of Edens, you know, wilderness. And God says, listen, you like it? Now it's your turn to enjoy it. Are you with me? You like creating problems? Now problems are going to face you. Glory be to God. The tables are turning. Hallelujah. Let's keep on quicker so we can get this done. It says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do what? Great things. 22. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do what? Spring. The pastures of the wilderness do what? Spring. The pastures of the wilderness. The wilderness, remember what we said yesterday. God calls things out of whatever it is that is holding it. So God is saying it's a wilderness, not because there isn't pasture, but because something is holding down the blessing. So I am going to cause the wilderness to spring. Amen. Hallelujah. For the tree beareth her fruit. In other words, fruitfulness. And then it says, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you, oh my, the former rain moderately. God is very consistent. The former rain for us is what happened at Pentecost. And then he says, and he will cause to come down for you the rain. And what's happening this Rosh Hashanah? What happened here in Winnipeg? It's been raining. You know why it's raining? Because right here, God wants to declare a promise to us. Amen? It's raining because increase is ready. Hallelujah. Former and latter. It says he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. When? In the what? First month. And guess what month we are right now? This is the first month. Hallelujah. This is what? The first month. Rosh Hashanah. Now we're in the first month. God saying, I am decreeing this. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Glory be to God. Overflow. Someone shout overflow. Say it again, overflow. Say it again, overflow. With wine and oil. This is a promise of the Lord. Let's go further. Hear this. It says, and I will do what? Restore to you. I will what? Restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. So that army was the army that he sent. But now he's flipping it around and saying that we are the other flip side of the army that he's raising up, and instead of destruction, we are moving and turning wilderness into gardens of Eden. Wherever you go, the blessing will be. Somebody shout hallelujah. And you shall eat in plenty. Glory be to God. You shall eat what? In plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And my people shall never be ashamed. Say it with me. And my people shall never be ashamed. No shame. Hallelujah. You know why you're not ashamed? Because you're not naked. You know why you're not naked? Because you're clothed with the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. You will eat in plenty. You'll be satisfied, and you'll praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you. And you, me, God's people, shall never be ashamed. In verse 27 says, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. You shall know that I'm in the midst of glory and peace. You shall know that I'm in the midst of the Hammond family. You shall know that I'm in the midst of the Ephesino family. You shall know that I'm in the midst of the Arsenio family. You shall know that I'm in the midst of the Kade family. You shall know that in the midst of the Praske family. You just mention your name. And that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God is saying it twice, it means that he is saying to you and I mean what I said. You're not going to be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Say, I shall never be ashamed. He says, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. What the Lord said to us is this yesterday. He said, in this manifested glory, I am going to cover every range, from the youngest to the oldest. Even toddlers are going to be prophesying. Hallelujah. 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 Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Glory be to God. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 29. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. What is God saying? He's saying, I'm going to pour out my spirit on your employees. So if I have employees, I got to have a business. Someone say, I am an employer of many people. Hallelujah. And those that are working for me are going to be anointed. Glory be to God. Anointed businesses. Anointed. Anointed for a purpose. God is taking over. Hallelujah. I say, God is what? Taking over. Listen to this. Verse 30. It says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. Now, we just went through a few years ago was the blood moon experiences, and you know, all of this, the moon turning into blood and great things, disastrous things happening. God says, when that is completed, I'm going to step you into another flow. Amen. Hallelujah. God is getting us ready for an extraordinary experience. Glory be to God. Let's wrap up. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. Now, what's that about? The Lord is saying to us that this is going to be a season and a time of great deliverance, great salvation. People coming to the Lord, being drawn to God. And they're going to come, they're going to come from unlikely places. Hallelujah. People that the world has counted out and nothing good is going to come out of that. God is going to take ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The devil is in trouble already. He said, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Glory be to God. There shall be deliverance in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Watch this. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. As the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. towards the word of God, saying, I'm going to give you the ability to call. I'm going to give you the passion and the drive to call. So even your calling to the Lord is going to be something activated by Him.
Hallelujah.
What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He says, you cannot come to Him except that the Spirit draws you. Is that what He said? God is very consistent. He has placed a call to everybody. But unfortunately, some people have become so religious in their thinking. God says, you know what? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to give you the desire to call, and you're going to call. And I'm going to, when you call, I'm going to respond. I'm going to give you the money to give, and when you give, I'm going to give. Whatever. So, in essence, this is a point. This is going to be all God. What I'm talking to you, what I was talking to you about yesterday, and what I'm talking to you about today, just to wrap up the loose ends from what we're talking about yesterday, is this simple. The manifestation of the glory of God is going to be a manifestation of His glory, because He has made a decision. I am going to show up and show off. Yeah. Hallelujah. You receive it? Then shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen.